Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Premier League podcast this Thursday night, almost, thanks to the buggy, not being able to get a tablet working in time. But sure, he's here, and that's the main thing.
Never got the link.
Oh, really, for fuck's sake. But look, let's get into it, right? The big news, obviously, coming out this evening is, well, it's probably massive, lads, really, if it works out the way the owners wanted to be. But Newcastle obviously have just been taken over by the Saudi Arabian investment fund, but realistically it's basically the controllers of Saudi Arabia, really. Rob, I'll come to you first. What's your immediate thoughts on it, and what do you think it's going to be like impacting the Premier League?
At the fund be the end, basically. That's all you can think of, isn't it? Like mass wealth, 320 billion or something. I was reading today that your man Sheikh Mansour is 22.5 billion. So, blows him out of the water totally. Yeah. And just infinity funds, a dream. Here, look, fair play. It's every football club's dream, isn't it, now to be taken over by a mad billionaire that's actually invested in the club. Look, they're talking that the plans are going to be pretty much in the same lines as City, so it's not going to be an immediate, and it can't be because they have to. I know free for fair or the fair play rules or whatever they are, but they will have to adhere to some sort of guidelines. And obviously, you can't just chuck a load of money at it and hope it sticks in that sense, you know, that way. It's going to be a slow process, but unbelievable. I'm actually excited for a player like Newcastle. They're always great to have in the league, big stadium, but, you know, it's unreal, yeah. It's exciting for the league. In a sense, it's a bit annoying from a Leeds point of view as a Leeds fan because, in my ways, Leeds have done it properly. Calm down, come back up, rebuild themselves on the verge ourselves of administration.
Do you probably see ourselves, like, I know we talked about this in the WhatsApp, but do you see ourselves on a kind of even keel with Newcastle at the moment in terms of your positions within the Premier League? Do you feel like yous are pretty much the same, or do you feel better than Newcastle?
Yeah, no, we'd be a better team and a better club than Newcastle, and a bigger club. I said on the WhatsApp group, I don't think Newcastle are a big club. I think they're big in Newcastle. They have the fan base in Newcastle. You look outside of Newcastle, in the UK in general, I was looking there, although there is a few suspects fucking in the top 10, Chelsea being one of them, don't know where. They must have a big following, but just within the UK alone, they're only the 12th in the Premier League most fan base. So, and outside of the UK, you could count on your hand in how many countries that they have a fan base of. So, yeah. For me, they're not a big club. I think a lot of Newcastle fans seem to be a bit deluded. They had two good seasons under Keegan, and they used money then as well to kind of get there at the time. They paid big money for Shearer and a lot of players, generally. Well, I don't even know how much they paid for generally.
I know what you're trying to say.
Outside of Newcastle, I don't see them as being a big club.
No, I'm going to bring Gav in because obviously, Gav, you had a pretty similar opinion to what I had. I feel like Newcastle are a big club over the last, 30 years in the Premier League. They were there consistently up until 2009 and then went down and came back. So I feel like, in my lifetime anyway, Newcastle are a big club. They're a top 10 Premier League club. Maybe not in performances, but in terms of their stature, that's what I feel. What are your thoughts on it?
I think we just need to clear up. I think he said that he didn't think they were a big club.
I'll clear it up. Earlier on, I decided we're a big club, and I suppose I didn't specify. Outside, as Robbie said, outside of the Premier League, you'd be struggling to see them as a global kind of brand or anything like but in the Premier League,
Premier League podcast, lads.
That's what we're talking about.
They're not a big club in the Premier League, though.
Let him say his point.
No, I think, like, obviously they're a one city club. Obviously you've got Sunderland and Middlesbrough kind of there or thereabouts and kind of local, but when you look at the likes of London as an area, and even Liverpool and Manchester, you've got big clubs, big rivals. I think there's about 10 clubs in London that you can kind of throw your hat on. When you look at Newcastle, it's purely just them, kind of, I know that gets kind of thrown at them a bit. You're selling out stadiums because you are a one-club city. it'd be interesting to see, because, you know, we look at City when they got taken over and they were struggling. They're a bit of a yo-yo club. Newcastle kind of the same. You know, over the last few years, they're not a stable Premier League club. They're happy if they stay up. So how long is it going to take them to attract the big names? Will they even stay up this year? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When can they spend that money? Is there any type of embargo with the time the new owners can spend money? You know, they might have to hang on and just make sure that they don't get relegated first off.
Yeah.
You know, that could be something. But I think, are they a big club? I personally think, yeah, they're a big Premier League club. I think they've got a big following in their city and they're well known and have a good reputation. And there was times, you know, you think back maybe 10, 15 years ago where they were challenging for Champions League spots, probably a bit longer than that. But and then you had Keegan, who, you know, ultimately blew it when he was going for the league that time. But it's not like they've been, you know, just doing nothing since the Premier League started. They have had a few good years. So you'd rather see them get taken over and then have something, because you know they're going to fill stadiums, then have someone like Norwich or Brighton, or, you know, even City struggle to fill their stadiums to this day, and they're a most successful team in the last 10 years. So I don't think it's a bad thing that it's Newcastle that's being picked.
No, and actually Coyle actually just commented saying, yeah, he reckons that it's couldn't have happened to a better so-called not big club. You know, he probably shares an opinion of us that he probably does feel that the majority of people feel that they're not a big club, but that I would feel like they are. They've great fans, great stadium, great city. You know, I think it's a great project for the Saudis. I think it's actually a better project than the Man City one was. You know, they had to take over a club with United there. They bought City in 2008. United had just won the Champions League and the league. So Newcastle, I think it's a better project. But Stephen, I'll bring you in on it. What are your thoughts on the whole process? Like, it's just been a mad kind of 24, 48 hours for Newcastle. Like, I think when Gary Neville and Carragher done that interview 2 weeks ago, there was no light at the end of the tunnel, and all of a sudden now it's they're the richest club in the world.
Yeah, they need Champions League as soon as possible, I think. Don't they really? I don't think you'll see any top signings until they get that. So until then, I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle for them. Especially with, they have, I don't know, like, they're way off. If you look at their squads, they haven't got much to build on there. If you really look at it, it's going to be, I think it's going to be about 4 or 5 years down the line. And I don't think football is going to let, continually go like this. Because if you think about it, like, Man City, PSG, they're already getting slayed for all this. So eventually it's going to come to a head. I think Newcastle will need at least 5 years to break top four. They haven't got a squad at all. They don't even have a manager. Steve Bruce, he's a championship manager.
It's going to be a complete clear out, isn't it? It's going to be a complete clear out from the top down of everyone.
Yeah, like,
there's
not going to
be one player there that's going to be playing in the top four.
If you were talking to Haaland, okay, you have offered Haaland $1 million a week, right? Just say, he's not going to go if you're not in Champions League. Doesn't matter. Yeah, he'll just go for 700 grand somewhere else and play the best games. So I don't know. I'd be worried down the line, but I don't know. I think it's a long, long road to success. But Robbie seems very bitter there about Newcastle. What's wrong with you, Robbie?
Not bitter at all. Realistic, mate. Like, they're not a big club. Like, you know, anyone that...
Yeah, 4-3. The Liverpool game. The best game ever.
4-3. Yeah. That was how long ago?
It wasn't as good as
a club outside in it. Not a big club outside of Newcastle. Like, the two good seasons in the Premier League, that was it. And I don't know what they've won in terms of trophies, league titles, anything like that.
They haven't won the league since before World War II. So
they haven't won the trophy in 57 years.
In 57 years.
Even more now. They have got a big... Since 57 that they haven't won a trophy.
A big fan base in Newcastle. But... No, as I said at the start, I don't know if you were listening. I actually delighted that they got taken over. As Gav said, and Coyle actually said it there as well in the comments, that they're the type of club that everyone likes, love their fans, and they're very passionate and they deserve it. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of other clubs that probably would be taken over. But you make a great point, Boogie, and we were all up in arms a few months ago or whenever it was about the Super League. So you can understand now that Liverpool's owners, Man United's owners are like, hang on a second, this fella's come in and gazumped everyone. Like, we, what we wanted to do for the Super League, we wanted to benefit. You know, people may have not seen that, but hang on a second. This fella's just lying in his own pockets, or doing whatever toy, basically, it is. Not even lying in his own pockets. What's and basically it's very, just... You're right. It can't... Like, we were up in arms about the Super League. This is the same thing on a smaller scale in terms
back,
of that.
The background of these Saudis is very bad. Like, geez, I'm reading about exactly. Like, it's really bad.
The human rights and all, and, you know, that's another... Probably a different... Another story we could get into, you know, you can see on social media
that there's, you know, the Newcastle fan base is kind of split. Obviously, some, as you said, Robbie, it's every supporter's dream that your club gets taken over by someone who was going to have you challenging, whether that's with, you know, 9 billion or whether it's 200, 320 billion, whatever these lads have. But you can see that a lot of them are split in the middle where they want to enjoy it, but because of the background of who these lads are, they can't, and they don't feel like they should, and then you've got some that don't give a shit. You know,
the only thing I'd say in response to that, though, is that's not Newcastle's fault. You know what I mean? That's not the fans, it's not the club's fault. But
we're just jealous, really.
I was just about to say, if that was Arsenal, Leeds, Liverpool, or Man United, we'd all be delighted. You know, under it all, we know it's wrong morally, ethically, it's horrendous what they're doing. However, if you just take it from a football perspective and it's your club, it's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah, it's dead.
Brilliant.
Well, my little brother actually supports Newcastle. He's buzzing. Like, and he hasn't been happy about
two Newcastle fans I know in Ireland.
I actually know three or four, would you believe? More than Leeds, believe it or not.
But no, the point has to be raised that there was more that came up. So this only pushes us closer to a Super League in my eyes anyway, this taking over and getting permission. Because, you know, you can't... It's basically...
So in what way, though, Rob? Just elaborate on it. How do you feel this makes it more likely that there's going to be a Super League?
They're coming in and they're taking over. Like, they have infinity funds. They can do what they want. They can sign who they want. Like, it's like we were complaining that the other teams just get stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
But these are just going to get stronger and stronger.
This now blows it open a little bit more, that now there's another club?
No, because they could just potentially totally take over. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone else will come along then and take someone else over. Yeah, I suppose if everyone had a billionaire then, you could say the 20 teams, but that's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
I feel the same way as you. You know, there's probably a little bit of jealousy because Arsenal obviously have Kroenke, who has about 10 billion. And doesn't spend it by, you know, this season, I suppose. So we've got that billionaire owner who's like scabby, and they're going to have this billionaire who's going to do whatever. But if you look at Everton, for example, Everton have spent about 400 million since their new owner came in, and they're still a very average team. Not to pick on United, Thomas, but, you know, United have close to a billion since Fergie left, and, you know, haven't won it since Fergie left. So you can make the argument that you can throw a billion at this.
That's true. But look how long it took City, like, and how many managers, you know.
Yeah, and you know what it is as well? I think people have given good examples. You know, Aston Villa were bought, and Tony Gier was a billionaire, and they got promoted or whatever, but they ended up having an absolute colossal wage bill, and they got relegated again. You know, and QPR was
the same.
And QPR, you know, Tony Fernandez takes over as billionaire. You know, they got absolutely nowhere. They signed Rio Ferdinand and leading Clint Hill to play centre half. So it is all about who's leading the club. And I think you look at Chelsea, you look at City.
They're years away, lads. They're years away, to be honest. But
City were in their position. City were tongued 8-1 by Middlesbrough the year before. And within 4 years, they won the league.
But at least, 2012.
At least,
Ericsson
I will say is,
bought some foundations.
League is much stronger now, isn't it?
I definitely agree it is stronger. But I don't think we can be as naive to think in 5 years they'll only be challenging for top four. If they sign players and they get a decent manager in there, like, that's going to be my next question. We have to realistically think they're going to be challenging to win the league in 4 years and 5 years, not just to break the top four.
I'm reading on Twitter here, they want Zidane.
Well, I'll throw it out, lads. Me, personally, if you're giving a war chest to someone, they're going to sign players, they're going to attract big players, I would get Conte in tomorrow.
Yeah, I would have said Conte, yeah.
They're saying here they're offering Zidane 25 million a year, 4-year deal. And they want 80. They want to build their new stadium up to 80,000 in 2 years' time.
Class. And you know what? they absolutely will, because as Gav said, it's a one city club. You know, that way they can build a stadium anywhere they want, and they'll fill an 80,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, Sunderland.
And the stadium is away. They'll have black and white on them. It's out, isn't it? It's not really near residential. Like, the stadium could actually
I've never been, but to be honest with you, I was going to say an expansion probably suits them better because of the history of the club and stuff like that. And
yeah, that's it. They're saying they're going to try and expand it, all right, to 80,000 in 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's
great for the league.
If you have to change a whole playing staff, which in my opinion they do, if they want to, they want. So yeah, apart from St. Maximin, who would you actually keep? Do you know what I mean?
I ask you that, Robbie. Yeah, who stays? Probably Maximin.
Wilson's injured too many times. He's not a bad player. But if you're talking about breaking into the top 10, even, are you keeping Wilson even?
But let's be real about it. They're not going to sign 20 players in January and the summer. They won't. They just won't do it, you know. They're going to have to do it over two years. You know, over four windows, they'll sign four or five players each window, potentially.
Yeah, all that.
Long staff on 150 grand a week, I heard.
Yeah. But look, I mean, how do you feel like this is going to impact other clubs? Like, Boogie, you made a great point earlier on. That's United out of top four. And I know it was probably meant tongue-in-cheek, but they're going to come for someone. And realistically, Liverpool, Chelsea and City are ahead of Man United. You know, you might say, not financially, maybe. You know, United are well up there in terms of money and stuff. But, you know, in terms of if they were to get a good 2 years under their belt, signing really good players, get a really good manager in, there's definitely going to be teams looking over their shoulder. Yeah. Leicester, Spurs, Arsenal, United, they're definitely going to be really looking over their shoulder, aren't they, Steven?
And also, like, you have to think, if it's 2 or 3 years down the line, will Pep and Klopp be around? Probably not.
And two or three years down the line.
Yeah, then there's going to be another swing. Then Stevie G is going to come in, Liverpool, and he's going to screw that up. So, Jesus, I am a bit worried,
You know, and I think any fan that says they're not are deluded. Yeah. And I know I just gave the examples of Villa and QPR, but this smells different to me, lads. This smells like City again. And
Abramovich. Well, he's probably one of the richest. Is he the richest man in the world? Are they the richest?
Well, they're the richest group. Well, Robbie.
Well, Bill Gates and Bladen.
They have 14 times the money that City have.
And they've 258 billion more than PSG have.
Yeah. So they are the richest club in the world. Like without a shadow of a doubt. But
mad.
How can they spend it? Where do they spend it? And how quickly do they spend it? Are crucial.
City organized, didn't they? Don't they have that City Sports Group or something like that now that, you know, they've got clubs all over the globe. They've got New York and stuff like that. So I think
Australia,
you know, they probably got on that side of things where they'll pretend that they're sponsoring and all that type of stuff. That's
absolutely.
It is a project, Boogie's right. You know, 5 or 6 years, and I think top four. Like, I can't. The one thing I would say is Liverpool will reach a crossroads in maybe two seasons with some of their players. You know, some of them are on the back end of their 20s. And
Robbie, come on now. We're not getting into this Sadio Mane all over now.
Mane is great. He's always winning me money.
I was going to say, he's backed them more often than anyone lately. The only person I know that's late soon and backs them. You know, it's unbelievable.
It's only to wind Boogie up.
Definitely, you had me on strings. Well, lads, I think with all the sports science now, just to go off the subject, I don't think 29 is old now anymore. Do you? I think, look at Ronaldo, 36. He's changed the game. I think around 33, 34, players are still, like, good enough to play week in, week out, like, healthy enough.
I think it's a positional thing as well.
You know, we're going to get into that now in a minute, but I do agree with you. I think position has a lot to do with it as well, in fairness. Like, you look at Van Dijk. Van Dijk's 31, I think, now this year. Maybe early next year, he's 31. But he could keep going. The way he plays the game, he really could keep going for years. Salah, top class.
It's the resale issue. So I think to go off Robbie's point, if we're looking at Newcastle and we're saying 2-3 years in the future, they're going to be challenging for top four. You'll then have Liverpool have the likes of Mane, Salah, Van Dijk, you know, Milner probably next year or whatever it is, and a couple of others there. Do Liverpool, and there's already a discussion around Salah, do Liverpool give these lads the big deals to keep them into their mid to late 30s? Do they sell them? Are the FSG then going to give Liverpool the money to replace Salah, Mane, or are Newcastle going to swoop in and get the players that Liverpool would have got a few years ago?
The only thing I'll say as well is,
I have a funny feeling though, FSG aren't going to be around for long either, even before this, because there's a lot of the void at the moment, and then like they didn't sign anyone this summer really, and they made a profit, and they still haven't sorted Salah's deal out. So like, Jesus, if they don't sort that out and Salah walks away, I think that will be the end of FSG.
He has to be up there with the highest earners in the league, Salah. He has to be given whatever he wants, $500,000 a week. If that's what he wants, give him it. Yeah. He's the best player in the world.
Thomas, how much would you pay to replace him?
Well, this is it. I don't think there's anyone in the world that can.
Well,
definitely not.
Your man Edwards probably would have gone and replaced him for $10 million, but he's gone now. So he's gone now. So
I think, go on, Thomas.
I was just about to say, we may get into the game itself, because obviously we're talking on that subject with Salah and that goal.
What a game.
That goal, particularly, Robbie, as I don't know who said it, might have been Klopp. If Messi scores that, that's like winning the Puskás Award. You know, I just don't think he gets enough credit, Salah, sometimes. But that, for me, is one of the best goals I've ever seen. And that's against one of the best teams we've ever seen in Manchester.
Yeah, Messi scored. One of the best defences.
That's what I mean, yeah.
If Messi scored that goal, Robbie would be running around dreaming in his nude. 100%.
He's scored many a goal like that, pal.
But like,
he actually didn't even comment on the WhatsApp group about Salah's goal until City equalised. I noticed.
Do you know what? I was enjoying the game so much that it was, what a game. It was unbelievable.
You were full of WhatsApps in the first half, Robbie.
Exactly, because
when Salah scored 2-1, you got broken thumbs.
Hardly, mate. I think I was saying it was some bleeding game, which it was. Touching on that, the first half, it's been years since I've seen a team dominate Liverpool so much.
Yeah.
Sorry, lads. In the first half, the way City did, and you could argue with a striker, they could have been out of sight. Even Klopp kind of admitted that in his post-match press conference or interview after the game. But look, these things happen.
They did attack the left side.
You're talking about Phil Foden, like, you know what I mean? So there's the age, and it's Foden. If it was another 21-year-old, would he have done the same? Maybe not. Do you know what I mean?
He's actually, people make comparisons, obviously, to Gascoigne, to players like that. And I think he had a rough Euros, didn't he? And he had a rough kind of start to the season and wasn't really getting a look in. But this is the type of thing.
Well, he was injured.
This is the type of thing, though, Gav, that can really kickstart his season, though, that performance against Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think I said it last week, is where it looks like Pep has now got a starting 11. Foden, Grealish. I still don't understand the Ferran Torres thing. He scored 2 last night. Like, he looks like someone who can be that striker for them. But it looks like City have now got that settled side, and what you're going to see now is the likes of Foden. De Bruyne, while he was actually quite poor. I know he scored that goal. He was quite poor for the full game. But they're all going to come into their own now. And I think it's going to be carbon copy to what City had last year, where they kind of started a bit slow and then just took over. We've said it a few times. They can go on that run of 10, 15 wins in a row. I think looking at Foden, you would have probably seen a 21-year-old or another young player go at his defender once, twice. If he wasn't successful, maybe he would have shied away a little bit. But
look at Sancho.
He just kept going.
Sancho passed it backwards.
And he doesn't seem to.
I think as good as City were in the first half, Liverpool were very good in the second half. And I think it is, we do need to note that they were missing a few players. And in key areas. Like Alexander Arnold, does Foden have that kind of first half or that kind of thing if Alexander Arnold is playing? Like, because he'd be on the front foot there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and he did actually. Foden has more to think about. Last year. Remember last year?
Yeah, it was all over the place last year, though. The man, Nat Phillips and Blade and Ting were playing centre half. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, the lads were carrying them. No disrespect to them. But like that was the two powerhouses of European football at the moment going toe to toe. And it was brilliant to see. I think they're ahead of everyone.
But then you look at the score sheet as well, lads. You know, Mane, Salah, De Bruyne, Foden. They get into anyone's team across European football, don't they?
Like, it was really the outscale of Clásicos. You know, when those two, Madrid and Barcelona went at each other.
Brilliant,
Pep and Jose and Mourinho were the managers. It was like top quality games, but like actual quality from player to player. I think sometimes we kind of ignore the quality in games in the Premier League because it's fast-paced and we have 4-5 goals.
The second half was unbelievable. That game
was just like start to finish.
You have to be happy with a draw, Stephen, do you?
That's what I was just about to say. Usually when you go 1-0 up and 2-1 up at home, you're saying to yourself, oh, and then you can see it late. You're like, geez, that was 2 points dropped. But I was actually delighted to see the final whistle at the end because City were that good. I was like, right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, City were excellent for 90 minutes. They could have easily won. That's a good point for Liverpool the other day because Liverpool didn't play that well and they got out of jail. And like you take a draw the way City played, they were excellent. So I think even Klopp's interview after the game, he was happy. He said that he was happy to take the draw. He said that City could have been out of sight. That's a good point for us because it just shows, you know, like they dug in against a really, really, probably the best side in the league, let's be honest about it. And so it's good.
I think it shows your metal is back. Do you know what I mean?
It's a good early.
Is that confident again?
Yeah, well, like it also keeps us unbeaten, doesn't it? Like the end of the day, you want to go, if we can get the Christmas unbeaten now, we can really build on that. If we get the Christmas unbeaten, sure, we're probably going to be top. So you just got to keep going. But I was delighted to see the final whistle because every time City went forward, they just looked like they were going to score.
That's brilliant. And I think we haven't really said it yet, but Milner definitely should have been sent off. Really,
100%. Yeah. But it was funny. Yeah. It was funny seeing Pep lose it, though, and then he put off his
And Mike Dean not giving two fucks either about it. Mike Dean standing there looking at him like it wasn't get away.
And then he sits on the bench and crosses his legs and all. Oh, I think it's hilarious when he loses his shit.
It's good entertainment though, isn't it? It just adds to it all as well. I thought that game had everything. It was a real Premier League game, wasn't it?
It was the perfect advert for the Premier League and for showing two real proper football teams. You know, no disrespect to Chelsea, but That game, no one would have watched that if that was Chelsea in it as much as we wouldn't have talked about it as much if that was Chelsea. You know,
wouldn't have been that type of game.
Proper football teams, and it was absolutely brilliant, you know. But look, we have to move on to the best result of the weekend, though, Boogie Lee. Come on. Yeah. Leeds actually won a game. Leeds got that forced win.
This is it now. Talk about Man City going on a 10 or 15 game winning streak. This is the start of it now.
Hang on.
We're finding our feet again.
He's at 16th now. Hold your bleeding horses, right? You beat Watford, who sacked that manager as well. I'm going to let you have your moment, right? Go ahead. Take us away there.
Now, look, lads, I know we said it the week before on the Thursday where Boogie had to tap out. You know, I don't think Boogie heard me. We've been playing well. We really have been. There's a few things that haven't happened for us. And again, on Saturday, it was a great game. It was end-to-end. They had a few chances. We had loads of chances. We should have been out of sight at one stage. And, you know, that's the way we play. We always give teams chances as well. But, again, your man Llorente is huge for us. He actually scored as well. It was actually a great goal.
Was that his first game back, Robbie?
Yeah, it was his first game back after Liverpool. You know that way he's been injured since the Liverpool game. He probably had the right idea against Liverpool, though. He probably knew, so he was like, pulling up at the Alemanni. This isn't for me. But now he's a very good player, and he's a big part of our defence because he kind of holds it all together and makes the other fellas better. As I said, we're lacking, you know, big time in a few positions, and they're not only, like, maybe even championship-standard players that Bielsa's getting a a tune out of, you know what I mean? I'd nearly even go as far as say some of them are League One, you know what I mean? That might be a bit harsh, but that's where we're at. But we do have some excellent players, and then we're a great group. The way we play together is always going to be entertaining. We have been playing well, as I said, and we deserve that 3 points on Saturday, even though I think their goal was ruled out. Might have been a bit dubious to be ruled out.
Yeah, it was a bit controversial, but, that one, actually. You probably should have stood, but
But I think you deserve that little bit of luck when you play like Leeds. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's Wolves next. So, Wolves are playing well as well. So
you've had absolutely no luck. You've had no luck all season so far. And look, if you still get a run of games now, you are a confidence team, really. Do you know that way? So I feel that you could go on a bit of a run. 15 games now, that's a bit of...
I just hope them Saudi snakes stay away from Rafinha now. That's the only thing. It's say they're licking their lips looking at him going there. He's coming up to Newcastle. So,
What's the story with Harrison?
I don't know. Apparently, James was brilliant on Saturday. Just to touch on Boogie's point there, Rafinha's actually been very good, pal, the last few games for us. Harrison, just I think he wants to give James a run. Look, you pay 30 million for a player and you're not playing him and your results aren't really happening. That kind of thing gets managers to sack in this day and age. Do you know what I mean? So, although he's done unbelievable and you might think he's untouchable at Leeds, at the end of the day, the owners have big plans for Leeds. And if the results aren't happening, you know, any manager, they live and die by their decisions, don't they? So, if you're paying 30 million for a player and you're not winning games and you're not playing a 30 million pound player, the owner's going to be asking questions, or the director's going to be asking questions, like, why did you want us to sign him? Do you know what I mean?
I
think you're right, Robbie, and I think it's Dan James at United. He was always Elvis deft. He was never good enough to play for United, but you could get a really good player there. You know, I know he's paid a lot of money for them as well. And look, we'll see what happens as the season goes on. But Leeds have to get better. They really have to start getting a few wins under the belt. Like, I know I was taking the piss earlier on, but yous are 16th in the league. Yous have only 6 points. You know, yous need to get a run of games now and a few wins under the belt before Christmas. Because, look, would yous realistically be sacking him if yous are still in that position after Christmas?
No, probably not. I don't think
that's a danger, though, isn't it? You know, when you have a manager that's probably bigger than the club in a way.
But there's always going to be a second season syndrome with most clubs.
It's going to be tougher, and look, as Carragher said, I've said it loads of times, he says, I wouldn't worry about Leeds. Like, he's there watching the games on the side of the pitch. He can see exactly what's going on. So they're well in the games. It's not as if we're getting turned over fucking left, right and centre. It's just little things have to fall. And it's one of them things. Solskjaer has beaten Guardiola 4 times. You know, he's a manager.
He can't beat Rafa Benitez once, for fuck's sake.
Robbie, only gonna Solskjaer has beaten Pep 4 times. Look at him. You know what I mean? I think he's actually beaten him 3 times in a row, hasn't he?
Must be an echo on this podcast. Yeah, he has. He's a manager.
Come on, Thomas, speak up.
Look, this is where we're going now. We're going to United and getting this out of the way because it's just another terrible performance and another terrible week as a United fan. You know, the Villarreal...
Conan is back on Solskjaer, now he is.
I have officially. Yeah, he really has. we said on the podcast previously that United had 4 home games coming up after a run of away games, and he won one of them in the 95th minute against Villarreal, and the rest...
That was offside as well.
Calm down, will you? I think your phone is overheating or something. The only thing I'm going to say is, right, we have an identical record to City, right? Identical. And we're only a point behind Liverpool and 2 behind Chelsea. So in terms of the league... You know, if you were watching United and you looked at that, you'd say we're all right. But and I know what you're going to say.
We all played each other.
Exactly. The caliber of teams that we've played, we should be top of the league. We should be well clear of the rest. We haven't played anyone in the top six, bar you want to call Everton top six because they are officially, but they're not. Our next 7 games, we play the top six proper, and that's where, for me, Solskjaer shouldn't really even be in charge for the next game. I think after watching him over the last four games, the team is aimless. The players we have now are more than capable of competing for the league.
Tom, can I ask you a question, though? Just for not cutting across you there, but...
Do you think he
seems to get good results against the top four, though? You know,
just about to say, Robbie, yeah. This is probably where you're going to get the best results.
It is, lads, right? But as I said to you the other day, Rob, he got the best results. But if you look in those games, he had Rashford, who can play on the counter. Martial, he had Greenwood, right? He plays
even James to an extent.
And Dan James played on the counter. Pace. You look at Liverpool 2 years ago, we beat them 2-0 in Old Trafford. Dan James laid on the two goals because he just bursted past Andy Robertson. Rashford played that ball into Greenwood. When you don't have Rashford, you can't.
When was this? 2 years ago?
Now, hang on. If you want me to pull up the record.
It wasn't 2 years ago. Daniel James never beat Liverpool ever in a Man United.
Well, but maybe
I'm telling you that now.
Dan James bursted past Robertson and laid on a goal for Rashford in Old Trafford. There was no fans in the crowd.
And the game finished 1-1 because Lallana equalised in the 87th minute.
He's robbed the fucking goal.
So it wasn't 2-0.
That was that season. Live hard. Robbed the league.
Oh, yeah, 99 points. Jesus.
But look, getting back to a proper football team. Look, we're not going to pick up the results like we did in previous years against those teams because we don't have those players anymore. You know, you could talk about Sancho, you could talk about Greenwood. They're not going to play like that, United. They are going to be beaten. It's just as simple as that. Like, if we had Rashford fit, I'd say, maybe you have a chance because he plays like that. We don't have him.
He's on the way back, I read, though.
In training, but he won't be fit
it's
to
a
play.
A month or two, is it? I think. Is it a month or something?
It'd be another 3 or 4 weeks before he's back properly, you know, that way. So, I can't say it, lads.
He
wasn't in charge anymore. So
the middle, of the park, lads, is woeful, isn't it?
Having a lot of engine in a Ferrari car, isn't it?
Yeah. Red McTominay is 25 years of age. That's mad. He plays like he's fucking 15.
16.
him and Fred are one of the worst midfielders in the league.
They wouldn't get that game.
They
struggle to get that game for Newcastle at the minute, I would say.
I think we discussed this, remember, Lingard, West Ham. He'd always done a sign for West Ham. Went to West Ham on loan and was brilliant. Now, in fairness to Lingard, he's played as well. Excellent.
Lingard's a great sub.
Yeah. And I think you've seen that in the Champions League. He came on and he made an impact, whatever it was. You know,
The winner of West Ham is unreal.
There's going to become a point where he has to start.
I know Martial.
The thing Lingard has, though, is kind of the same as Van de Beek. They all play where Bruno kind of plays, and Bruno needs to play every minute.
I said this during the week. If you look at Fernandez's kind of average position for United or whatever you want to call it, he's always picking the ball up in midfield and he's playing deep passes. I would actually start Fernandez beside if Fred or McTominay or Matic or whatever. I'd play him as a number 8 and play Van de Beek or Pogba in behind the striker. I just feel like Fernandez constantly drops deep all the time. But then play someone more advanced. You know what I mean?
I think Pogba came out, did he, today and said he prefers the role he plays for France in attack. Kind of that's his position. Do you know what the thing is, Rob?
It's easy for him to say that, though. When you look at the quality of midfielders he's around, forget about the forwards.
Yeah.
About the defense, he's playing beside Kante. He has his bleeding choice of absolutely brilliant midfielders to play beside. If he goes in beside Fred or he goes in beside McTominay, he has to do a bit of work, and that's why he looks absolute shy for United in midfield.
Humdinger here, lads, is on the telly beside me 3-2 to Belgium there. Lukaku again, just slightly off topic, but Pogba is playing here in this game for France, and there's no Kante around in the midfield.
Question for you. You mentioned there that you'll probably struggle because you don't have Rashford on the counter. So if you go back to your transfer window, right, you sign Ronaldo last minute, obviously not part of any strategy. You just can't let him go. You saw in Sancho, and he's getting a bit part. You know, and I would keep asking you when he's making his debut and stuff. Like, if you're Ole and your whole game is counter-attack, why do you go and sign Sancho, who isn't a counter-attacking footballer, and Ronaldo, who isn't a counter-attacking footballer anymore?
Do you know what, though?
Where's his plan, Luke? What's
going on? It's twofold, right? Am I sounding contradicting myself? Firstly, we don't play counter-attacking football. You know, we only do against the likes of City and Liverpool, who are going to dominate possession in games. You know that way? And we've seen that. The problem with United is, over recent times, we can't break teams down when we do have the ball. And yeah. I think that's what the likes of Sancho is for, what Ronaldo's for. I think, as you said, right, Ronaldo's a bit of an asterisk beside it. We were always going to sign him if anyone else went for him, right? But Sancho, so far, he's playing with fear. Every time he's getting the ball, he's giving it away as quick as possible. Yeah. He won't take a player on. He won't go down the line. He keeps looking for that gap. You know yourself, when your left winger's running with the ball, he's looking for that onto his right and whip it. He's just not getting it at the moment. But he actually needs to play with a little bit less fear and just go for it. If you make a mistake, fuck it. You're up that end.
That's where the coaches come in. This is what I mean. Van de Beek signed for 45 million and he hasn't got a kick. They haven't improved him. Harry Maguire's 80 million. Have they improved Harry Maguire? He still has their mistakes. Wan-Bissaka's 50 million. He can't play football.
He signed the players that he's named, but the thing is,
has he improved them? They're not kicking on. They're still the same players.
I disagree. I do disagree, because you're looking at, if you look at Dalot against Villarreal on Wednesday, right? He was murdered every single time he went down that side, right? Wan-Bissaka's great against Everton, and he's much better. So you have to take it with a pinch of salt. What we had before
the modern day fullback has to be better going forward, though, doesn't he? Has to.
Definitely. He's like Bambi and Ice when he gets the ball. You know,
That's not going to win you the league. A fella that, like a fullback like that, it's not.
The only thing is, fullbacks don't win leagues. Do you know what I mean? They don't.
That's Alexander-Arnold wins
that part of the team. And you look at Gary Neville. Gary Neville was a great player, but going forward, he wasn't like Alexander-Arnold. He wasn't like Andy Robertson. And I know,
although he was underrated, Neville, for his crossing and all.
Every team has a carrier. You know what I mean? Wan-Bissaka has a carrier, but he's solid defensively. Yeah. Like, you can't doubt how good he is.
But do you not think the modern game?
Yeah, I do, pal. I really think he's top class. Now, I know.
But do you not think he leaves himself four or five times, that, like, his positioning, that he has to make last six tackles all the time? He does it all the time, a real good defender as such. He might be great at tackling,
but I think he knows he can get back and do it. But I think he knows he can go back and do it. That's where he takes them risks.
I would say he's been caught out of position all the time.
If he wasn't getting back and actually winning the ball, I'd say, yeah, but he is. I think he trusts his ability defensively.
He's England's fifth choice.
I'd understand that, Tom, if he was dangerous going forward. So let's say, for example, he's leaving himself exposed because he was a Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Coming forward, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could kind of say, right, well, that's his game. He needs to, you know, what he adds going forward. He's always going to take them risks. But I don't think he's adding enough going forward to believe himself.
It's long and down. And they're the games they're struggling in. See the games against the likes against Everton, the likes against Villarreal. I know they won, but the quality, I suppose he wasn't playing against Villarreal. But like the lower opposition that play the low block, let Wan-Bissaka have the ball and the move just breaks down. Ronaldo's getting fed up already.
One thing I will say about the Wan-Bissaka thing as well, and this is a Solskjaer criticism majorly, United haven't had a right-sided winger in years. In the same way we've Rashford, the same way they had, you know, Martial at one stage. I truly felt when they signed Sancho that if Greenwood was to stay on that right-hand side, that it would help Wan-Bissaka. You know, that way that they would be able to play. You know yourself, the way Salah and Alexander-Arnold kind of play those patterns of play and that kind of right-hand corner. Mm-hmm. Wan-Bissaka goes forward and Greenwood's in centre-forward position. He's on his own on that right-hand side, and he's not good enough to do that. You know that way? So I feel until United get a decent right-sided winger, whether that's Sancho, put Sancho on that side and let the two of them trying to build some sort of partnership, or tell Greenwood, stay on that right-hand side and let that chap lead and try and get forward and build something. It's not going to happen. You look at Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw's been so good because he has Rashford there all the time, or he has Pogba, or he has Martial, and he can make those overlapping runs. Wan-Bissaka never has anyone to play.
And to be fair to Rashford, he's a very honest player, so he gives him a dig out defensively as well, big time.
But Tom, that's,
do you know that way?
They're all part of the play. They're surely what you work on the training ground. You know
but that's why I did say at the start, it's a criticism of Solskjaer, you know that way, because I feel like, one, he hasn't actually brought a player in to do that, and secondly, Wan-Bissaka's main job is to defend, and when he gets the ball maybe 40 yards out, he looks inside and passes it, because he's absolutely no one in front of him. He's no one in front of him to try and play anything off. You know that way? So I feel sorry for Wan-Bissaka that he gets massively bashed for that. He's not good going forward. Well, neither would I be if I was running at a winger and a fullback and a centre-back. You know that way? With no one to actually help me. Where you look at Luke Shaw, and he always has Pogba or Rashford or someone on that side giving him a dig out. So I have
Shaw has a better delivery now, doesn't he?
Can I ask, lads, Sancho, we didn't see a lot of them in the Bundesliga, right? I've seen the stats, unbelievable stats from last season and all. But Bundesliga is not the league it was.
Smiling, Gav.
Do you think, you know, is he actually even good enough? It's a different kettle of fish signing for Man United than playing in the Premier League, than playing in the Bundesliga for Dortmund. I know he hasn't really been given a good crack, has he?
I want to say is he's 21. Right, and he's never played in the Premier League before, so you have to actually treat him like a foreign player. I know he's English, but he's never played in the Premier League. Would you rule someone out after 7 games that you've just signed from another country that was that good? I don't think you would. I do think he has to be given a long full season before you really judge him.
I think the last 3 big signings out of Germany have been Sancho. Werner, Havertz and Keita. Now, them four, I know Havertz has been okay. He scored a goal in Champions League. But them four came at big reputations, big prices. And they're not really setting the world alight. All four of them. We all slag Werner. But Keita, as a Liverpool perspective, we waited a year for him. And he came with big, big reputation. And he hasn't done much. He's been injured all the time. But them four... I don't know. That's why I'd be thinking twice giving Haaland 750 grand a week as well. You wouldn't know.
Haaland hasn't really been great in any of the big games, to be honest, Richard, from what I've seen. Slightly off, lads. You won't believe it. Lukaku scored there for Belgium. It was disallowed. And France went up to the other end of the pitch and scored. It's 3-2 to France.
3-2 to France. I don't believe it.
No, wasn't Pogba, some fella Dubois or something.
Wouldn't score in a blotting, that fella. But look, I mean...
He's cool on everybody now, isn't he?
United at this stage now, I think I said this maybe in the last podcast, we're at a crossroads now that we're going to be left behind. And I'm talking not just this season, talking for the next 4 or 5 years. If you don't get the right manager in now with those current crop of players... and they get something out of this season, whether it's a good run in Europe, whether it's an FA Cup, whatever you deem success for a new manager, you could potentially have players leaving. I think Luke Shaw wouldn't hang around. I don't think Fernandes would hang around. As much as they love the club, I don't think they would. I don't think Rashford would hang around.
I think that love of the club, Tom, is... doesn't happen anymore, really, does it?
I think they've given enough time to United now. This will be Fernandez's third season. If he's not winning leagues or Champions Leagues, he'd go. He's Portuguese as well. It's one of those things, Real Madrid, they'd sign him tomorrow. I don't care what anyone says,
And you're right, it is a big few weeks for us, Tom, because Liverpool look like they have their swagger back and their back. Klopp looks happy again. Man City were beaten by PSG, but they were a better team, and they look like they're really starting to motor.
To be honest with you, those three teams they played this week, City, are probably the three best teams in the world, bar themselves. Chelsea, Liverpool, and PSG. You couldn't pick a harder week to play, and they still got a couple of decent results. But just call out United's next games, right? Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs, City, Watford, Chelsea, Arsenal. Actually, scratch that last one. Chelsea. You know that way? So You know, they're tough games. Like, do you know what I mean?
So come through them unscathed and just have a handy one against Arsenal.
We'll get Ollie tattooed on my fucking arse if we get through that decent, you know. But look, let's move on to the Renaissance.
To the Premier League podcast. We finished up the Man United one there.
The Renaissance of Arteta lasted a week. Welcome back, Gav. nil all against Brighton now, are we?
Yeah, now we're only 6 points off top. Relax there now.
That's a real glass half full, Gav.
Yeah, it has to be. I think we all called it last week, didn't we? I think we said, you know, like Norwich, not a very hard game and so on. And the three games that we did win, Spurs were absolutely shite in the first half. So, you know, we're by far, we're miles away from being the finished article. What I will say is, though, we would have lost against Burnley before. And we would have got absolutely tonked against Brighton.
I don't think I've ever heard a fan saying that.
If you literally look at that game and bring that to last year with the defense that we had and how brittle we were at times, like that's 2-3-0 in the first half, the way things were going. Not getting overexcited with the back five, because I'll include Ramsdale in that, but they seem to have a bit of grit about them, and they seem to want to defend. And that's the first time I've seen an Arsenal.
I cannot wait for you to get stuffed after the international break. This is going
to be so funny. No, but seriously, like, you know, it's the first time I've seen an Arsenal back foil actually take pride in trying to get a clean sheet. And that sounds ridiculous, but you can see it in them. We're still struggling going forward. Like, most of what happened with Brighton was it just wasn't sticking up top. We were getting the ball, we were countering, we were beating the press, getting into, you know, Odegaard had a bit of a stinker. We're getting into Smith Rowe, Partey, but beating the press, feeding it into Bellingham, and it was bouncing off him, and then it's just back again at us. And again, that's what I'm saying. You know, that back four deserve a lot of credit because it just wouldn't have happened.
And in fairness, I think you're right though, because Brighton had 21 shots against us, but there was only two on target.
Yeah, a lot of them
were defensively, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of them were kind of, you know, half chances, pot shots from outside.
They're decent side, Brighton.
But that was going to say, you have to treat Brighton as probably a top great 10 manager team, I think, this season.
Very good.
You know?
If I was Newcastle, I'd be after Potter, actually, believe it or not.
I don't think he has the
He has the
CV.
He has no experience in going and signing big players and managing big players. So, but I do think he's a good manager, you know. But Gav, go on, Robbie. Yeah, go on.
This is the old thing, though, isn't it? That was pretty much, apart from Xhaka, because he got injured, the same team that played against Spurs, yeah? And as we said, that 11 is pretty solid. But Kroenke expects Arteta to go through the whole season with that 11. Do you know what I mean?
I think what's had to happen is there's a huge turnover in playing staff in the summer. You know, I think they did about 19 deals, whether it was free transfers, income and outcomes. So, like, you know, earlier on we spoke about Newcastle, they're not going to go out and make 20 deals. But, like, Arsenal kind of did. And, you know, I know they got a bit of stick. They spent 150 million and, you know, what type of players did they get? Now, Arsenal need to be realistic. They need to understand that we can't go out and spend 50 million on four or five players. We just don't have 350 million to spend. Sorry, we do, but we won't spend it. So, you know, when you look at what we signed, you look, Ben White, 50 million, the exception. The rest were all...
just
forget about that.
We can't go out and spend 50 million on one player. The worst one you say then.
No, but, you know, we can't do it on every player.
You could have left him to last.
The other five players we signed were all 15 to 16, 17. I mean, that's nothing in this day. Like,
yeah.
But whatever we say about Xhaka, I'm not his biggest fan. I think he's a good player. You can see it when he goes and plays with Switzerland, how good he can be. But the Premier League is too quick for him, and he gets overrun. But he does add that control. And I know, look, he's a bit of an idiot sometimes, makes stupid, rash decisions. But when he's on it, he does add that control to the midfield. You made a great point last week, Robbie. Yeah, the 11 is solid, but when one player, like you take one player out of that back four that played, you take Smith Rowe, Odegaard, Saka out of that side, you're relying on, you know, Pepe, who still hasn't made his debut for Arsenal. You know,
I'm actually this is your bench the weekend, Gav. Leno, Lacazette, Maitland Niles, Holding, Suarez, Pepe, Tavares, and then Ian Martinelli.
Yeah. So,
like, they're rubbish. Like, I wouldn't take one of them at United.
Yeah, well, Lacazette is gone. He's not getting any minutes. Doesn't matter how bad Aubameyang does. He's not getting minutes. He's gone. He won't sign a new contract. I'm a little bit frustrated with the Martinelli thing. I think he was
absolutely he's a good player
super when he played, and he hasn't played. Like, he just
the only
he had
thing
a bad
is,
injury, though, didn't he, as well?
And I was going to say, do you play him as a number nine? Because he doesn't get in ahead of Smith, Rowe, Odegaard or Saka now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And yeah, look, but does he get in ahead of Aubameyang either? I know Aubameyang maybe isn't banging them in, but
that's what I'm saying. I don't know whether I don't play him if it's me. Play
Aubameyang. It's tough. It is a tough, but he gives you what you want. He has it from the front.
He hasn't shaken the legs since that new contract, has he? Aubameyang.
Jesus, no. I signed that last the new... year.
Oh yeah, I think I did, but that's just he. Once he got that bumper deal, it's just he's just gone to the dogs.
I think what was happening
remember
was
he won in the FA Cup. Remember that he scored the winner in the FA Cup, didn't he?
Yeah. The FA Cup super then, but I think Arsenal are very deliberate up top, and everything needs to, like I said it before, everything needs to work step by step. It's very deliberate. If it doesn't, as you can see, we're not banging goals in. We haven't for the last year probably. And Aubameyang is more of a, you know, he's an off the cuff striker. He's around the box. He's a cut in from the left hand side, one touch bang. And
Opportunist kind of, isn't he? Feeding off the ball, his pace. Does he even have his pace anymore? I don't know.
But even the goal he got against Spurs, it was very like that, you know, flash ball across the box. He just arrives, bang, goal. Yeah. You know,
we're not creating that. Everything clicked in the first half at Spurs. You know, we were beating the press and we were
surely seeing the Scott DVDs made up and everything at first half. Club shop had them on sale first half against Spurs.
But you alluded to it there, Thomas and Gav. You said it then there, like a turnover of 19 players in the summer, and we're still sitting here saying you need 3 or 4. That's a bit scary, to be honest with you.
That's how bad things got. Emery got rid of... Like, Emery was playing Lucas Torreira as a number 10. You know what I mean? Like, so,
and he's still a great manager.
Just crazy. Like, they're papering over the cracks. And I think, you know, Arteta's gone in, and there's obviously a strategy there. I think Gary Neville came out there just after the window and said there's no strategy. And there obviously is. You know, they've gone for under 23s, some homegrown players that they're going to be able to develop and even resell in the future for decent profits. But yeah, the squad was in bits. Like, we still
I think what Neville probably was more alluding to was the style, though, Gav. Was it like none of them really seemed like they suited a particular style? Like, even your man that I thought you were going to change your name to it at one stage, your man Tomiyasu, the Japanese lad or whatever he is. But like, the only person I've heard crack on about him is you. And like, I think he's been better than Bellerin last year, but he's not Wan-Bissaka. Like, so
I tell you what, he's actually very good. Like Wan-Bissaka, the two of them are very similar footballers.
Yeah,
the image of each other.
Defenders. Well, here, I'm playing for Ivory Coast.
Tom, I have to disagree with you there, because you can see he's brought in Ramsdale, right? And I wasn't excited about that.
Well, we all said that was a bit weird.
Relegations in a row, but you can see what he's bringing is communication, confidence, and playing out from the back. Because
he's a good shot stopper, Ramsdale. I think
he's terrible from the back. He wants to play Tierney up high, and as a result, then we go back into a back three, and Tomiyasu is one of those kind of players who can play centre-back and right. So he fits that.
He's a clever footballer, all right. He is a clever footballer. But I just don't... Like, when I think of Arsenal and I think of the way they want to play football, I actually can't really put it together. It reminds me of Solskjaer, to be brutally honest with you. I don't really know what you're going to get when they turn up. When you look at Liverpool, you look at City, even Leeds, you know kind of what way you're going to get with them. With Arteta and Solskjaer, it's a bit like they just throw out 11 players and they hope for the best. To a degree, and I think Arteta is gonna get found out, and Solskjaer probably is already. He's looking for individual brilliance from Smith Rowe. He's looking for Odegaard to do something great, but he never really has a way that they're gonna break teams down every single week, though.
Yeah, again, I have to disagree. I would have agreed with you if this was, you know, last season.
Fox Sports.
No, if this was last season, I would have 100% agreed with you, because there was times where I was sitting there going, what are we doing? But he did say last season he wants to go 4-3-3, and he doesn't have the players to do so. And I think there was an interview after the Liverpool game last season where they bashed us. It was like Liverpool. I think it was one and only games where they, you know, it was back to drug test these lads. What are they doing? Like, but after the game, he said, "We're just so far away. We don't have the quality in our squad." You can see now after the window shut, 4-3-3 is what he's playing. Now everyone fit. That's what he wants to do. That's what he said he's doing. As I said, with Tomiyasu coming in as a making a tree, with Tierney going forward. The thing is we've got young players, Saka, Smith Rowe, Odegaard is still only 22 and hasn't played a lot of football. Mm. 21, hasn't played a lot of football. And then you've got Lokonga, you know, in the midfield and he comes in as well. They're going to make mistakes, and that's what's happening. We're going forward and they're making the wrong decisions at times. And I think he definitely comes from the Pep Guardiola mindset where I put all the tools in place until you just get to the final third, and then it's up to your own ability.
He might have a plan, Gav, but it might be the wrong plan as well. Do you know what I mean? You look at the difference, like the three other managers, especially Klopp and Guardiola, as good as the players are and the teams are, you can really see where the managers make a difference as well. And I think that's the big difference in, you know, as you even said, Tom, where, you know, even Leeds have a bit of a structure and it's a plan that kind of works. So look, struggling a little bit this season. It's a bit like when you look at Arsenal, as you don't know what you're going to get. Do you know what I mean? United, Solskjaer, if he's ever tried to coach a player in his life, I'd say that he definitely hasn't. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, he's just throwing them onto the pitch, as Thomas said, and it's like, what the hell is going on? Do you know what I mean? It looks all over the place. Whereas the others, you can see, they're literally coaching players on the pitch.
We're looking through our team here, though. Like, their team is a lot better now. You've got Ben White, Gabriel, Tierney, Pata, Saka, Smith Rowe, Aubameyang, Odegaard.
The first 11 is decent now.
Yeah, we were kind of saying that last week, that the 11 is decent, but when you actually watch them, though, they're still not really playing very, very well. Like, against Spurs, they played absolutely class in the first half. Spurs were shy. But you look at them against Brighton, and it's basically the exact same team, bar one player, and they just capitulated. You know, you said 8 shots in the whole game.
Gav, what was Arsenal fans' realistic target anyway this season?
Stay up.
this season, realistic target. This season, top six. You know, that's the target.
What was the target when he came in to replace Emery?
Good question. We were probably
not wearing as much tax wax as Emery. That was the main goal, isn't it?
I don't say good
evening.
Change our week.
Probably
top. You know
what you actually have to do, Gav, is follow the Brentford model. Scrap your youth system, your academy, and inject all your 18 and 19-year-olds horse tranquilizer. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, you need to have a little look at the old Arsenal youth because there's some serious class coming through that.
Yeah, no, but you see the scrap and inject them all with horse tranquilizer like Brentford have done. See the size of them.
I just want to say that Robbie Gaines.
Serious note, though, I actually feel sorry for Arteta. I feel sorry for Arteta because the top four, when he took over, the top four was way ahead. Like, especially, City and Liverpool were way ahead. United and Chelsea had the money. So, like, they're serious money there. So, like, really, I don't see any problem with Arteta. If he finishes top six, that's a good season. It's just where Arsenal are. I think Arteta needs another year or two. Build a team.
But that's what I mean.
But you know what it is though for me? I feel like the fans have accepted that they're not going to get top four, top six, and they're willing to give them time. Where there's clubs like, I don't know, say United, when Moyes took over that time, we weren't willing to drop even 3 spaces in the league, let alone finish 7th. Where I think there's an acceptance, Gav, really, is that Arteta, that he was dealt the bad hand, that he's are willing to give him time.
I think the fact that, you know, top four is a trophy for whatever amount of years.
For the chairman.
You're not going from winning the league the season that Wenger leaves, and then all of a sudden, you know, dealing with the shit that came with Moyes and stuff. And, you know, Arsenal probably had 20 years of, you know, or 15, 16 years of maybe accepting that kind of level.
Just European football, like.
Well, I don't think the Arsenal fans, I don't think they'll come down heavy on Arteta. I think a lot of them want them to do well. Some of them probably don't think he's the man. But I think whenever anything goes bad with Arsenal now, it will be all targeted at the board, because I think they've seen, since they've took over in 2007, the decline has just been like massive.
Shocking.
Right? You know, we've gone from, you were talking about what's going to look like for other clubs now, Newcastle come in. Just picture an Arsenal fan at 2004 going unbeaten, and all of a sudden Abramovich comes in and bang, see you later, you know. So that's what it's going to be like for some of them, for some of you guys. I don't think they're going to go too heavy on Arteta. They might push him out. They might have the Arteta out on social media and stuff, but I think deep down everyone
Arsenal
knows.
Fan TV.
Yeah. I think deep down everyone knows that he's probably
did a podcaster die as well, Gav, an Arsenal podcaster. On Twitter, no?
Yeah, one of the old AFTV fellas,
Claude, he was a bad content.
It's just a bad hand he's been given, so they're patient, but they won't be too patient, but it will go to the board, you know.
Henri
was talking about that Spotify fella again last Monday night.
Yeah, saying that, and he was really kind of saying, well, we're not going anywhere, yeah, man, that who owns Spotify, isn't it? Like,
yeah, like, but he's not going to be able to afford.
Like, he only has 3 billion. His entire wealth is 3 billion. I know that's still 3 billion. But sure, Arsenal, Kroenke's looking for 2.5 billion or something to sell the club. So he can't do it on his own. And I'm not being funny. Henri has fuck all money. Like, let's call it as it is. He's not a billionaire. Do you know that way? So yeah. I don't get this whole thing.
Handball.
No. Cheating bastard, actually, yeah.
He could probably take out a loan, though, Thomas. He wouldn't be using his own personal wealth.
I think a man is just looking for a friendly face to front his bid to buy the club. That's all it is. Henri's not going to put his own money into Arsenal.
Your man that owns Spotify, that won't be paying for the club out of his own personal wealth.
No, I understand that. But still, yeah, exactly. They'll do what the Glazers did. They'll take out a massive loan and then make it Arsenal's debt.
They only spent 200 million this summer. The Norwich Scars will be out come May.
Have I said anything about the fucking Glazers yet? All I said was they gave us their debt. They're great owners. And Ollie out. But now, look, lads, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for coming on tonight. That was a good show. We will be on next Thursday, and we'll just preview the weekends ahead. United getting absolutely battered again in the Premier League. But look, lads, thanks for coming on, and sure, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, lads. See you later.